Yeah.
Number 30, right? Okay. Parasparanu katanam. Everyone. Bhavanam Bhagavadjasa. Mito rati mitas to steer. Nivritir mita atmanaha. Parasparanu katanam. Bhavanam Bhagavadjasa. Mito rati mitas to steer. Nivritir mita atmanaha. Parasparanu katanam. Bhavanam Bhagavadjasa. Mito rati mitas to steer. Nivritir mita atmanaha. Okay, word for word. Parasvara. Mutual. Anukatanam. Discussion. Pavanam. Purifying. Bhagavat. Of the Supreme Lord. Yasha. Glories. Mita. Mutual. Rati. Loving attraction. Mita. Mutual. Tushti. Satisfaction. Nivritti. Cessation of material miseries. Mita. Mutual. Atmana. Of the soul. Translation. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord. This process is most purifying. As devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. And by thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up all material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. Please repeat. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord. This process is most purifying. As devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. And by thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. According to Sridhar Swami, those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness should not envy one another or quarrel among themselves. Giving up all such mundane feelings, they should gather together and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord for mutual purification. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has pointed out that glorification of the Supreme Lord is especially potent when performed in the association of pure devotees. When devotees engage in Sankirtan, chanting the glories of the Lord together, they experience the highest transcendental bliss and satisfaction. Thus, they encourage one another to give up material sense gratification, which is based on illicit sexual connections with women. One devotee will say to another, "Oh, you've given up sense gratification. Starting today, I shall also give it up." One should learn to increase one's love for the devotees to satisfy them and to give up sense objects unfavorable to serving Krishna. And one should learn to view the entire universe as paraphernalia for the Lord's service. By engaging the objects of the senses in Krishna's service, one automatically becomes detached from them. As one passes one's days in the association of the Lord's devotees, one's transcendental ecstasy increases more and more through discussions about the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, one who wants to be free from the harassment of Maya in the form of sense gratification must constantly associate with pure devotees of the Lord who have no engagement other than chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord and carrying out His mission on earth. Srila Madhavacharya has pointed out that just as one should cultivate friendship with devotees, one must cultivate a spirit of friendship towards the demigods who manage the universe on the Lord's behalf. Thus one should live peacefully within this world. Om Agyana Timuranda Syaginandanam Shlakaya Chakshuram Ratamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances to Srila Prabhupada and to all the assembled devotees. This is a nice verse, very important understanding for devotees who want to make advancement in spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada created ISKCON specifically for this purpose. It's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So the whole idea is to be conscious of Krishna. And so this is very difficult by oneself. So Srila Prabhupada created this movement and everything is a lot more easier and enjoyable when there is good association. One should establish good relationships, as it says in the purport here. There's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, it's spoken to the prachetas by the Lord. He says, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Vinidvridam, how's it going? Bhairam Vinidvridam, Yome Bhakti Prachita. Does anyone know this one? Varam Vinidram. How do you go? Varam Vinidram. Badram Ye. Soha Dema Patag Dhammas. Tishtaham. Okay, so this is a nice verse. And this is spoken by the Lord to the Pachetas. And he says, I'm very pleased by your friendly relationships with one another and your mutual friendship. And therefore, you may ask a benediction from me. So Krishna and, of course, his representative is very happy when the devotees have friendly relationships. So one should learn how to make friends with devotees. This is very important. And, of course, one should avoid criticizing devotees. But when there are good relationships between devotees, according to this verse, saying Krishna is willing to give a benediction. In the purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada explains, thank you, how actually, even if there is some disagreement between devotees, actually they're still united because they're united in service to the Lord. Actually, Prabhupada said there cannot be any disagreements between devotees. There may be differences of opinion, but ultimately because they're united in the service of the Lord, there are always friendly relationships. So this is the way Srila Prabhupada wanted ISKCON to be, that it's a society where we get association and we give association to others. And of course, Lord Chaitanya said in his conversation with Ramananda Roy, he asked Ramananda Roy, what of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful? So Ramananda Roy replied that apart from separation from the devotees of the Lord, there is, he knows of no unbearable happiness. And in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it says, out of all kinds of desirable things experienced in the life of a living entity, association of the devotees of the Lord is the most valuable. When we are separated from a devotee, even for a moment, we cannot enjoy happiness. So being with devotees, hearing from devotees, and serving devotees, this is actually the most important thing for a devotee. As Prabhupada gave the example that if you have one little matchstick, you can break it very easily, but when you have a whole bunch of matchsticks, you can't break them. So that is why it's important to associate with devotees. And of course, when there are more devotees, just like when you have a kirtan, if there's only one or two people there, it's not as ecstatic. When there's a lot of people there, it's more ecstatic. So, you know, the more people that come to Mangal Aarti, the more ecstatic it is. The more people come on Harinam, the more ecstatic it is. The more people go on book distribution, the more ecstatic it is. So, you know, this is wanted. It says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, of course, you know, we are in ISKCON, we're trying to associate together, we're hearing about Krishna together, but at the same time, to give our association, even though we're not, may not be on the highest level, the benefit for non-devotees is inestimable. As it says, sadhu-sangha-sadhu-sangha-sadhu-shastri-hoi. No, lava-matra sadhu-sangha sadhu-siddhi hoi. That's it. Okay, so it says that a moment's association with a devotee is the most valuable thing. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, verse 13, it says, Tulayama Lavenapi Naswagam Napanabhavam Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Kimascharya A tapuram? Huh? How is it? Matyadam kimu prashasya. Okay, sorry. So it says that association with a devotee is more valuable than the attainment of the heavenly kingdom. It's more valuable than any amount of wealth which actually are not desired by intelligent people. So this is really the most valuable thing, association with a devotee. To give people our association, even though we're just aspiring devotees, but to give people Srila Prabhupada's association, or to get the associate, or to, for us to get the association of more advanced devotees, this is really what life's all about for us. In the fifth canto, in the fifth chapter, there's another verse, the third verse. You know this one? Deva maishe kritisarodata janesha dhambravatakeshu jayatmacha retasna natsu vatakeshu naputi purvad yakta yavat ataloke. You know that one? Wow. So this is an instruction by Rishabhdev. He says that those who are interested in reviving their Krishna consciousness do not like to mingle with materialistic people. They like to only associate with devotees of the Lord. They do not collect more money than is necessary to maintain their bodies. And they are, and even if they're householders, they're not attached to their homes or their families. Of course, this is a, could be controversial. We do our duties as grihasthas, but at the same time, we are developing detachment, and we have to become detached because we have to give it all up. So this is Rishabhdev, that, you know, we don't like to associate with materialistic people, and we do not collect more money than is necessary to keep the body and soul together. And so, the whole life of a devotee is actually to associate ideally with more advanced devotees. So therefore, we're very, very fortunate because, so many great devotees have given us this opportunity to associate with them. Just like Srila Prabhupada has written so many books, we can associate with Srila Prabhupada just by reading his books. Actually, from my perception, it is that some of Srila Prabhupada's most advanced devotees never even really got much association with Srila Prabhupada personally. Some of them hardly even spoke to Prabhupada. And some other devotees, they may have spent a lot of time with Srila Prabhupada, but subsequently gave up practicing Krishna consciousness after he disappeared. So it depends on the consciousness of the person, of the devotee. Like, even with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Lord Chaitanya went to Vrindavan, his servant, was it Krishnadas? He saw, he was kind of taken in because a lot of the residents of Vrindavan had seen some lights on the river Jamuna. And they thought that it was Krishna dancing on the head of Kaliya. And so, No, it wasn't him. He was Lord Chaitanya's associate, but his servant was Krishna. Anyway, yeah, but Balabhadracharya was there, but he wasn't the one who saw the lights. Sorry. We'll look it up. So he saw the lights and he thought that this is Krishna, and I've seen Krishna dancing on the head of the Kaliya serpent. But some other gentlemen there, some residents, more like respectable gentlemen, they said, no, this isn't Krishna dancing on the head of Kaliya. This is some fishermen with their boats out in the middle of the Jamuna. So he's thinking, you know, that he's seeing Krishna, but actually Lord Chaitanya was right there with him. And Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he had the association of the Lord, but he was thinking, you know, he would see the Lord dancing on the head of Kaliya. So anyway, sometimes people don't realize who they're associating with, and sometimes they do. Just like when Krishna was present on this planet, Prabhupada said only a handful of people, maybe 100 at the most, knew that Krishna was God. So people see what they want to see. So sometimes, you know, devotees, they are more conscious of somebody who's more advanced, and they get the benefit from their association. Sometimes people become envious. You know, they're with devotees, but they can't really associate with them because they're more advanced, and because they're less advanced, and they become envious of the one who's more advanced. So this is a big problem if one wants to make spiritual advancement. And, you know, even in ISKCON, we've seen this is a problem, that people become critical of people who may be more advanced, and then, you know, they have a lot of spiritual problems. So, but Krishna consciousness is a wonderful process if one can learn to associate with devotees in the right way. And Lord Chaitanya, he said, you know, if there's no association, if there's no good association, he told Mukunda in the Chaitanya Mangala, he said that if there's no association, I have my relatives to protect me. Patience is my father. Forgiveness is my mother. Eternal peace is my wife. What is it? Anyone know? You? Truthfulness is my son. Control of the mind is my brother. The 10 directions are my clothing. The earth is my bed. And nectarian knowledge is my food. So, Lord Chaitanya. It's in the Shanta Shataka, which is in the Chaitanya Mangala. Very beautiful. So, we can associate with sadhus by reading their books. And this is one of the reasons that there are so many books. You know, all the literature written by the Goswamis is practically unlimited. And I was trying to understand why there's so many different wonderful scriptures written by so many great devotees. It's because they want to actually flood us with spiritual knowledge. They like to do that. That's actually one of the most pleasing things for a devotee, is to give people knowledge. So you can actually do that, you know, in a simple way by going out distributing books. You're giving somebody a book, which is great. But when somebody has more knowledge, then they can give seminars, they can give classes, and this is very pleasing. This is the highest ecstasy. Preaching is the essence. The last time I told you about Shivaram Swami, he had written a book about Varnashram. Well, now he's written a book about Damodar Leela, which is an amazing book. I haven't read it, but according to Urmila Devi Dasi, she said this is an incredible book. So It's an amazing book, but I was listening to some lectures given recently by Shivaran Swami at the Manor on Damodar Leela, saying it's the month of Damodar is just coming up now. And so he has compiled this book based on the commentaries of the Acharyas, which actually are pretty extensive. And so he was giving these talks, and they're very amazing, very interesting, how Krishna, he actually became angry. He wasn't putting on a show. He wasn't an actor. He actually became very angry. And so, you know, it's a leela, it's a pastime, but when Krishna gets into these pastimes, he actually forgets who he is. And he actually gets into the pastime so much that it's total reality for him. So he was describing this, and he was saying how the stick that Mother Yashoda had, that's actually a living entity. And he was saying how when Krishna became upset and he started crying, there was so much tears coming from his eyes, it created a pool, a pond. Anyway, I can't remember the details, but it's pretty amazing. And then he was saying how Krishna was blaming, he said, it wasn't me that made the hole in the pot of yogurt, it was God who did that. It wasn't me. And Yashoda was saying, it wasn't God, it was you. I know about God more than you do. What are you talking about? Don't start philosophizing about God with me. It was you, not God. It's very funny. So by hearing, and then there's all these amazing books by the Goswamis. Of course, you know, Prabhupada has given us everything in his books, but at the same time, there's a lot of other information out there, which is very, very interesting and very soothing to the mind. As we know, living in the material world is always a challenge, and it's good to take a break from the material world. Instead of going to, on holiday to Miami or wherever people go, you know, or Thailand, wherever you like, but to actually give your mind a break from the material world, the best way is to study these books. So I was going to read a beautiful passage from Ananda Vrindavan Champu, which describes the moon on the night of the Rasa dance. The moon is a living entity, it's a personality. And her service is to make the whole scene very beautiful for the Rasa dance. So this is a beautiful description. If you can concentrate and listen to the analogies, it's absolutely mind-boggling. As the moon, anxious to see Krishna, continued rising, it turned yellow in color like fresh sprouts. Millions of stars twinkled attractively in the clear autumn sky. The moon appeared like a swan dyed yellow from touching the pollen of the golden lotus flowers growing in the lakes of the eastern direction. It appeared like an offering of butter churned from the ocean of yogurt by the embodiment of time. As the moon continued its upwards journey, it turned more and more white in color. It looked like a white pavilion of the king of seasons supported by the ropes of its fine rays. Just as lovers burning in separation often look through half-closed eyes, similarly, at this time, due to its brilliant rays, one could only view the moon through squinting eyes. The full moon looked like a plump white dove sitting in his nest of the sky, fixed in the pavilion of the universe. The moon in its spots looked like a crystal box with reflections of betel nuts on it. But if you say that a crystal box does not move, then we say that the moon appears like a sparkling silver boat crossing the ocean of the sky under the direction of the captain of time. If you say that the spots on the moon make it inauspicious, then we say that it's still beautiful and auspicious. It is just like a silver pot decorated with ornamental leaves belonging to the bride of the night. The moon glitters like the diamond earring of the playful Lord Balaram. It is like an egg produced by the swan of fame of the autumn season. The moon is like a cool, soft pillow to relieve Cupid's fever caused by his own pride. It is like a malati mala tied in the hair of the spotless effulgence of the goddess of twilight. This indicates that chaste women worship the moon. Against the dark blue sky, the white moon appears like the Panchajanya conch shell hanging on the darkened body of Vishnu. It is a silver umbrella of Cupid. Materialists are satisfied with the successful harvest produced by its nourishing rays. It looks like a splendid crystal bowl holding ghee for yajna. The moon, situated in the milky ocean of the sky, is like an oyster-shelled box filled with priceless pearls. It is the looking glass of the goddess of auspiciousness, the Chandana Tilak and the maiden of the night, or a city of camphor to soothe the eyes. The beautiful full moon appears like a huge white lotus floating in a lake of bliss, a pile of foam on the ocean of sweetness, or the palace of the goddess of beauty. So, beautiful, huh? So, in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes Satam Prasangam Mamavirya Samvido Bhavanti Hridkana Rasayana Kata Tajyoshana Jyaza Prabhagava Vatmani Shradharatir Bhakta Anukramasyati. So by hearing in the association of devotees, by hearing about the Lord, one actually develops attraction to the Lord. And then one's attraction becomes fixed. So hearing in the association of devotees, this is the most important thing. And so we can take advantage of all the books, it's hearing from Srila Prabhupada, or hearing from the Goswamis, the literature from the Goswamis, and to have enthusiasm for hearing. This is something we should aspire for. In the Narottam Das Thakur, he sings that song. What is it called? When will I be anxious? What's the name of that song? When will I be anxious to hear about, to read the books written by the Goswamis? So this is something we should try to develop, a desire to hear from more advanced devotees. This is the most important thing. Because when we hear, or when we study the lives of great devotees, we actually realize where we're at. Because sometimes we forget, you know, that we're just neophyte devotees. At least I forget that I am. And when we read about the lives of great devotees, we actually see, you know, how advanced some devotees are, how different they are from us, how they have such a strong desire to please Radharani or to do something wonderful. So this is, you know, we may not have that desire ourselves, but when we hear about people that do have it, it's, we realize, you know, that we have a long way to go. And by associating with those devotees, we can actually make a lot of progress, and we can develop those desires. It's just like Prabhupada said, well, now you have given up sense gratification, so I shall also give up sense gratification. So it's a transcendental competition. Of course, we can't really compete with some of these great devotees, historical personalities in Lord Chaitanya's movement. But we can benefit by having the right attitude, by serving them. Serving them means distributing their knowledge, because that is really what they want. These devotees all appear in the material world because they have compassion for the living beings in this world. That's why they come here. They don't come here for any other reason. They come here to give their association. So we can serve them by giving their knowledge that they've given to the unfortunate living entities. So this is what Krishna consciousness is all about. This is really what gives us the enthusiasm to carry on. For me, basically, I have to go out every day preaching. I'm not a great scholar. I can't give great seminars. I can't write wonderful books. I wished I could. But, you know, I am what I am. So I have to just preach on the level I can preach at. But I know for me, if I don't go out regularly and preach to people, then I get very depressed, because basically that is the nectar for which we're always anxious. That's what it says in the Shikshastakam, that, you know, it gives us a taste of the nectar for which we're always anxious. So that is really, you know, when we find somebody, or we can uplift somebody by giving them Krishna consciousness, that is the most satisfying thing. And we have to do that on all levels. We can do that if we're a very advanced devotee, then we can uplift people's spirits by discussing Krishna. And if we're not so advanced, we can just give them any knowledge about Krishna, and it will satisfy us. This is the main thing that sustains us. Of course, that's, I'm just speaking personally. Some people maybe, you know, they like to do pujari work. And sometimes pujaris can be more advanced than other devotees who distribute books. There's no set criterion. I know this devotee who was at Bhaktivedanta Manor, and he was a very unassuming devotee. His name is Jiva Pati. And he was brought to Bhaktivedanta Manor when Jayatirtha moved there in about 1976. And he came from Chicago. He was a simple person, but his whole life, he passed away a couple of years ago, his whole life was just doing menial service for the deity. He never went out. He was washing the plates. He was offering aarti. And, you know, he didn't want to talk about anything else but Krishna consciousness. So everybody has a different mentality. So one should serve the Lord in a way that one feels inspired. But ultimately, we do have to spread Krishna consciousness, and all these great devotees who appear in the material world to write these wonderful books, they want that knowledge distributed. In the Sad Goswami Astakam, there's one verse which it says how the Goswamis, they wrote these transcendental books. They wanted to pour on the conditioned souls the nectarian pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So they wanted to pour it on us, just so much nectar. There's so many books. And by studying these books, we actually develop attraction. It's very difficult to develop attraction unless we hear about Krishna. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness is hearing and chanting and remembering. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Machita Makata Prana Bodhayanta Prasputam. How's it there? Tishyanticha Ramanticha. What's the last line? Huh? Yes. So the devotees derive great satisfaction and bliss from enlightening one another about me. So this is the life of a devotee. And there's so much information. We could just sit down and read. And we'd never read all the books. There's so many books. But But Srila Prabhupada didn't want us to do that. He wanted us to read and chant, to read to get the knowledge and to distribute the knowledge. So this is a wonderful process, and if we follow it nicely, then we will be safe. Hare Krishna. Any questions or realization, comments, anything? Madan Mohan Prabhu.
It seemed like this is an explanation of what Prabhupada founded ISKCON for, this verse. It seemed like it fit in there the whole show, just the IS, the S, the society,
yeah.
International society, chanting Hare Krishna.
Yeah, it's a wonderful society for discussing Krishna.
We both, nice class, Prabhuji. Sometimes some people are in the opinion that, well, we should simply read only Prabhupada books. But now there are so many devotees that are writing books, and like you were saying, you get great realization. But how can you convince those that are just bent on us reading Prabhupada books alone?
No, I wouldn't try to convince them. That's perfect. If they just want to read Prabhupada's books, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as they read Prabhupada's books. That's the problem. They might say that, but do they actually read the books? So, you know, if somebody's reading Prabhupada's books, they can get perfection. They don't necessarily need all these other books. But seeing as these great devotees have written all these books for a purpose, they didn't write them, you know, to not, they could have just, you know, they didn't have to write the books. They wrote them because they wanted to enlighten people. And Prabhupada also, you know, he mentioned that if you want to know the whole science of devotional service, then you should read Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Or we should read, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakura's, Jiva Dharma. So there may be different opinions, but ultimately, you know, it's all perfection, whether you read Prabhupada's books or whether you... But if you don't read Prabhupada's books, or you've never read Prabhupada's books, but you start reading the Govinda Lilamrita, or the books of the Goswamis without reading Prabhupada's books, then I would say that's wrong. Yeah.
One little point just on that. If you read Prabhupada's books, in his books he tells you to read other books. So are you reading the
that's
books
true.
And then it's like that one time Prabhupada, a devotee says, Prabhupada, I'll listen to you, but I won't listen to the other devotees. So Prabhupada says, I want you to listen to the other devotees. I'm telling you this. He says, no, Prabhupada, I'll only listen to you.
Yeah. Good point. Any ladies have a question? Yeah, sorry.
Thank you for the nice class. You're saying, how you don't write or... But we all know that you go out and preach. And we know that you meet a lot of devotees when you go out and preach.
Not a lot.
Anyway, so I guess I wanted to ask, what do you share, like your secrets, when you approach people? What are some of the general things that you share with them?
I just tell them about Krishna, you know, I'm quite direct, you know. I tell him about life on other planets, for instance. I try to make something interesting, you know, they need, because basically most people's lives are pretty boring, I think. So I try to make them, but I try to say something logical, you know. So I'll say, for instance, the Bhagavad Gita was spoken to the sun god. And then I'll say, well, you know, the Greeks and the Egyptians, they worship the sun, right? So, you know, there's a sun god. And then I show them, you know, because I like to show them the Sanskrit writing. And then I show them, this is the Sanskrit. This is a very complicated language. People can't speak this anymore. It's too sophisticated. So people were actually more intelligent previously. We've evolved. Don't believe everything the scientists say. Anyway, I just, you know, I ask them, little things. About a lot of it depends, you know, what sort of people they are, but I try to make it interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Anything, anyone else got a comment, question? What's that? Yeah, I mean, I also, you know, I use Prabhupada's example sometimes. Well, I say that, you know, you go to university, but university doesn't make you more intelligent. It doesn't make you happy. It doesn't free you from suffering, right? So these books, they make you more intelligent, they make you happy, and they free you from suffering. And, you know, then I also tell them that, you know, I show them the picture of the changing bodies, and I say that the book explains how, you know, it's not religion, this is just logic. You've heard of people get out-of-body experiences, you know, because people have out-of-body experiences. Then I say, you've probably heard of people who remember past lives. Then I say, well, they've actually proved that people have previous lives. Not everyone remembers it. So then I say, well, this is, you know, all about who you are. And you, you know, your body, you were a baby, you know, you were a young boy, you were a young man, your baby body is totally gone. And you'll be old and ugly soon. You'll be the same person. So you're the same person, but your body is totally different. So that means you're different from your body. Anyway, I just try to. I'm not great at it, you know, I just. Huh? Yeah, but I mean, the number of people that come to the temple is very few and far between. You know, it's literally like looking for a haystack and a needle. It's hard to get people to come. A lot of people say they'll come. You know, but you get the odd one that will come and will take it seriously and, you know, makes it all worthwhile. But, you know, I meet a lot of nice people out there and a lot of them are interested, and a lot of them will get the bag of the gear and give you $20 or $15 or something. And a lot of them, you know, I'll sit down and talk to somebody for half an hour, and you may never see them again, but, you know, I mean, I don't mind talking to people. If you know, back in the day, I used to just give out a lot of books, which is great, and it's probably better. But now at this point, you know, I concentrate more on trying to cultivate relationships with people. So I'll spend a lot of time talking to somebody and I'll make sure I have some prasadam to give them, you know, because I don't feel totally satisfied unless I give them prasadam. And I get them to chant the mantra and I give them an invitation. What were you going to say, Prabhu? Somebody else? Did you want to say something? I don't know your name, sorry. Late? Okay. All right. Okay, I think we'll finish. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.